Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how do you fit in to the structures of life? How's your structure in the structures of life? How structured do you feel? And is that good? Do you like that? Or is it challenging? Well, we're going to find out more about the structures of life, because we did a show recently about it, and we're coming back to learning even more with our wonderful guest again, who's been on the show many times, and he's our card man. And now we're learning how important these cards are in terms of the structure of life. Alexander Dunlop, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Peter, thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
Sure. And so the last time we talked, we worked on the higher cards, the royal cards. But most people don't have royal cards because there are only four of them. And there's 13 in a pack, in a hand. So, or I should say in a suit. So what? So I'd like to really look at other cards with you.
Sure.
And we know that every card represents a different way of being in the world because of its structure. So and we did that with the royal cards. They each have a very profound structure to them of the way that the suits are shown on the card and the number, the way they're placed on the card. Even though people see jacks, queens, and kings with illustrations, behind them is actually a structure of the symbols of the suits.
That's right.
So we're now, and people can go watch that show and, hear that show, and eventually it'll be on the Energy Stew YouTube channel. But right now, they can hear about it. So let's talk about the ace through the nine, and we'll see. Because you and I, before the show, were talking about the 10 some more and how important that card is, that we did talk about in the last show, but not in the ways that we were talking just earlier, because it's such a complex card. But let's start with the ace. Every card is complex.
Yes, and let's give a little context also to what we're talking about.
Good.
So we're talking about the deck of 52 cards, which are actually an ancient system of knowledge that was hidden in plain sight. And it's a numerical symbolic language that's printed on cardstock. But really what's important is the numerical symbolic language. It's a visual language. And so the visual symbolism gives us the meaning of what's being communicated conceptually in this numerological symbolic arrangement. And what it's conceptually symbolizing are the building blocks of reality itself, the energy frequencies that we might think of as string theory, vibrating strings in the quantum field, the energy stew that we are all in, the energy soup that we're immersed in, has different frequency patterns, different energy wavelengths. And these are symbolized visually and symbolically and numerologically by these cards as we know them. But again, they're not just cards. It's an entire language and it's an entire system of knowledge with which to understand our space-time matrix.
And I like what you said, that it's represented on paper, but these are all vibes.
Yeah.
And they don't need paper because we're born mathematically into particular vibes that are very structured. And this is the structure. And so we can at least read the language of the structure on these cards.
That's right. These cards give us a mental tool, conceptual tool, to comprehend the energy frequencies that we are immersed in. And to realize that it is structured. It's in fact elegantly structured It's not a soupy mishmash. It's not a conglomeration of accidental syntheses coming together. There's an elegantly precise design. There's an intelligently designed structured matrix of energy that we are incarnated in. And now, come back into consciousness, is the toolkit that helps us to see this structure of reality itself. And it's in the deck of playing cards.
Right. So it's really a wonderful tool for us to know ourselves and each other in the vibes that we're born to be. We can't help it because it's based on our birth date.
Yeah.
And there's a math to it that's ages old. And so let's start with looking at some cards, and people will get a better idea once we do that.
Well, right. And so what you're saying is that based on the numbers of our date of birth, we are born into a certain frequency, a certain numerological frequency, and that is symbolized then and represented in a certain card. Again, they're not cards, it's a language. And so someone who's born on a day that would be represented as an ace, they're born into a pattern that's symbolically represented as a single dot in an empty space. So if you look at a deck of cards, you'll see that all the four aces are a single dot in the middle of an empty space. And that's visually really meaningful. When you're born into this energy frequency, you will often feel like you are alone in the middle of an empty space. And you may often feel this insecurity of, I need to prove my point. I need to prove that I can plant this flag and accomplish this goal. I need to make my mark. And this all subtly symbolized and represented in the placement of this pip, the symbol at the center of a white space. And it tells so much once we are able to interpret this of what it means for someone born to play an ace.
But I can understand also that the shadow to it is the vulnerability of this single dot.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And so it means many things depending on how we play it. And this is a really important thing to emphasize, is that we are not these patterns. We are incarnated into these patterns and we choose how we want to play them. So we can't, although people do, fall into a victim mentality of, oh, I'm stuck with these patterns, there's nothing I can do about it. Actually, we have the ability with our free will and our consciousness, and that's the whole point, is to elevate our consciousness, to raise the awareness of what it is we're here to do, the game we're here to play, and then we can choose how we interact with these patterns. There are literally infinite ways that somebody who's born to play an ace could choose to interact with this pattern. As you say, Peter, they could feel vulnerable. It could feel like it's too big of a task. Who am I? Do I have the right stuff to do this single-pointed focus? Or on the flip side, they could be cocky and arrogant. They could be punching everyone else down and putting themselves up and being cocky and arrogant, always trying to get the last word and prove themselves to be the most important one in the room. They can go either way between this vulnerability or this cocky arrogance overplaying it.
Well, also, let's just say that we're born into a hand of cards.
Well,
and there are different cards that are associated with different planets, etc. And so that's another reason why if you're born into an ace one time of the year, it might have a hand of cards that an ace in another time of the year doesn't have.
Well, right. We have, based on the numbers of our date of birth, we have a whole hand of cards, 13 plus. And then every year we cycle through different patterns as well. So in one way or another, in some way, shape or form, we're all going to encounter this ace energy, quote unquote, in some way in our lives. It might be the primary pattern, or it might be a more secondary, tertiary pattern, but it will be there. And we all have a choice. How do we play with this single pointed energy?
Right.
Are we too sharp with it? Are we not sharp enough? How do we find that sweet spot where we play with this energy frequency in such a way that we make our mark and do something meaningful and valuable that is something that we ourselves created, We didn't wait for someone else to do it. We didn't need help to do it. We expressed our own self-mastery and we did it ourselves. And that's the energy frequency, this building block of life that's symbolized by the ace. And we all know this to be true, right? This idea that there are certain things we need to master for ourselves. We all need to learn how to tie our own shoelaces, although now we have Velcro straps, right? You know, you need to learn how to boil a pot of water for yourself. There's certain things that you need to learn how to do. It's one of the constituent elements of life that there are certain things you need to be able to ace for yourself.
Right. So where you come from about all those things depends on which card you're born to.
Well, right. And what I'm trying to do in this moment is point out that these cards represent constituent elements of reality that are part of the whole story. It's not always true that you have to do something for yourself. That can be a problem if you think that I always have to do it myself. But there are certain things that we all collectively unconsciously agree are things that individuals, you know, you need to know how to do that for yourself. And I'm a parent. I have two kids. There's certain things that you need to be able to ace for yourself. So you can rely on yourself and do it for yourself. There are other things on the two energy. So we'll just segue into the two. The two energy is represented by two dots. And that's symbolic of the fact that sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need partnership. You need teamwork. And you need to learn when are the times when you ask for help or when are the times where you do it yourself. And this is an important life lesson. When are you going to ace it yourself or when are you going to rely on someone else and do it together?
Right. And that's the point, I guess, is that each number in the deck has different ways that you do it yourself.
Yeah. Different ways that you accomplish it or realize it.
Right.
So if you're playing with a three energy, then it may be that there's a triad and you work best in a team of three. Or if you're going to be creative, that you bounce ideas and you get other opinions and that helps you in the creative process of the three energy.
Right. I always think of the three as people who have that card are people who take on a lot. It's because three numerologically is an action number. And so if you're born to a three in the card deck, you are somebody who's always thinking of, what's next? What can I do? How can I, you know, how many balls can I juggle at the same time? Because they know that numbers are good. You know, numbers more than two. If you're two, you're much more interactive with many other people too. But you really are very focused on how you interact in the world.
That's right. And twos are very interested in one-on-one connections. So anyone with a two energy that's predominant in their life path, they're going to be very interested in one-on-one exchanges and these solid dynamics between two people. Whereas the three, they get bored with that. Like you said, what else is there? What else can I bring into this equation to stimulate this and mix this up a little bit? So they're always looking for that additional spice, that additional variety.
And yet, coming back to the two, twos are so good at feeling people out and understanding people that they can actually be group leaders as well because they understand people so well.
Yes, they can. And interestingly, in the path of the twos, there are a lot of king energies in the life paths of the twos. So it's very interesting. And I think it tells us something important, again, about the way our reality is constructed, that the best leadership happens through dialogue, through networking, through building shared alliances. And rather than trying to be an ace and do it all yourself, that if you really want to be a leader, there's something about the dialogical process. And that's even the way our brain works, that one synapse connects with another synapse, and that's how information is shared. And so there's something really important about what you're saying about how the two energy helps to build leadership.
Good. Thank you. And so let's move on beyond the three to the four. And that's a different energy.
Well, and it's represented symbolically as a box. So if you get a deck of cards, any deck of cards, you'll see that four is a box. And this symbolism is really helpful because that's the meaning of this energy frequency. It's stable, it's structured, it's even. And in chemistry, all the atoms that have an even number of electrons, they're stable. Right? The odd number ones are the isotopes, like the three. It's reactive and creative because it has an odd number. But the four is stable and it's symbolically represented as a box. It's strong, it's structured, it's stable. And so this is an energy that helps us feel safe. It's like being at home. And someone born with this energy, people feel safe around them. And they lean on them, maybe a little too much. They're the best friend that will do anything for them, will always show up and help them.
Well, it sounds good, but then again, as we said, there are other cards in our hand, and I'm a four, and I'm definitely, many people don't like the fact that I'm boxed. They don't agree with my boxes. And that's because a lot of my boxes are influenced by one of my other cards, the Jack of Spades, which is the Jack in the Box. So it upsets the boxes. So I have, a way of wanting to be boxed and also being willing to jump out of
Well, it's what makes you dynamic, Peter. And so you're
the
something also really important is that we have a whole hand of cards. It's like a whole symphony that we have. We have many instruments we can play, many chords
box.
at once. We have many crayons in our crayon box. And we can color, we can use cards again with our own free will. We can decide which energy we want to emphasize in our hand of cards. So sometimes you may consciously want to play the Jack energy and mix things up. Other times you may consciously want to play the four energy and provide stability and structure.
And that can confuse people. So that's all right. I'm used to it. So that's the four.
The four energy, and I see that even in the reflection of your show, the way you bring together a variety of teachers and knowledge, and you create a structure, a show, in which you can teach your knowledge through these various guests that you bring on your show.
And I want my audience to learn to depend on the structure of the themes, that there are general themes that I think are relative to each other in many ways.
You're providing knowledge for people that helps people feel safe and secure.
Good, thank you. I'm doing my
That's
best.
your energy of the four.
Right. I know I'm happy to be a four, but I know that it's fixed because it's a box, and there are people who might find that very helpful, and other people find it limiting. So, I mean that I'm limited, why can't I compromise and be like others and all that kind of stuff? And I just can't.
That's a really good point. I mean, again, it's all how we play it. These are just frequencies. They have no valence of morality about them. It's how we choose to play them. And is it the right note to play at the right time? You play a C
Right.
in the wrong moment, it doesn't sound good, but you play the C sharp in the right moment, and it's magic. And with the energy of the four, sometimes we love being inside the house. I'm really happy I've got the air conditioning on right now on this hot summer day. I'm really grateful for this box that I'm in. Other times I feel stifled and I want to go outside and get some fresh air. So sometimes I like the box, sometimes I don't. It just depends on the moment.
Right. And luckily, I have a Jack of Spades that can really stir the pot, and I can jump out of that box. So let's come to the five.
Sure. Well, the five is the out of the box energy, and that's symbolized by the X, and it's like a crossroads, and it's we've reached a crossroads and we want to change course, change direction. And it's the number of adventure, and it's no surprise or coincidence that we have five fingers, five toes, five senses. This constituent element of reality is the element of adventure. Change, which, as Buddha taught, is the only constant in this reality, and it's true, it's the only constant is change. The five energy, change, adventure, development, evolution, growth. So, someone born with this energy, this is their life. They're always changing, always growing, and sometimes that means being restless, being always on the move, ADD energy. again, how do we play it? How do we interact with this energy frequency that is a part of our reality at all times?
But change. It's interesting that it's understood as an X because it's a square with a dot in the middle. But what if it were a pentagram or a pentagon?
Well, see, then it would be another structure. And I find it very interesting. This is a much deeper topic of how this unconscious knowledge is represented visually. Because when manufacturers of cards are putting the pip structures on the face of the cards, they didn't know what they were doing. But it's also like when we're telling a really good story, we may not know that we're actually revealing something profound about the human psyche. There are ways, and this is something Carl Jung explored, in which we're verbalizing and discussing and playing out unconscious archetypes. And I think that's true with these card patterns, that the card manufacturers didn't know that, oh, it's important that the five is represented as an X, not a pentagram, for example, which it could have been. But why would we represent it as another structure? We need to represent it as an X, as a change. They didn't know that consciously, but they did it.
Right. And I think what's magical about the five is that it, if you're born to a five, you're born to want change. You're born to stir the pot. Yeah. And so you're often, you know, unsettled with the way things are. You want more. And yet, if you look at the five through the pentagon or the pentagram, we're looking at very sacred geometry that isn't on the card, but it's still the five. So maybe because the five is an X that has to do with you know, the magic of change, the pentagon and the pentagram have to do with the power of change and how we can use those forms as a five to support our role of change.
I mean, this is a deep topic. It might be more to get into on the show, but I'll just stick with the idea that the symbolism is revelatory. And there's a reason why there is the symbolism as it is on the face of the cards, even if it was unconsciously placed there, for us to get the meaning of this frequency of the five as a crossroads, as change, standing in contrast to the four, which is structure and order, which we need both, right? We need to have traffic lights. We need that order so we don't have chaos on the roads. Right. But then we also need change in our reality. We need to mix it up and refresh it. Otherwise, we get stuck with the old and it's no fun anymore.
But I think for people who are fives, they should feel grateful that five can also be represented outside of the cards by these other five forms of the pentagon or pentagram, and feel blessed by that, that there's a sacredness to the way change comes about in life, that it's all in divine order and that everything's right. Even though we bump into walls a lot in life, but everything is meant to be that way.
Well, that's right. And for fives, the way they find calmness and stillness is in motion. It's interesting. My daughter's born to play the Five of Diamonds, and one of her favorite things is to just drive around in the car and listen to music. When she's in motion, she feels calm. And that's often true for fives, is that being in motion is their stillness.
Oh, I love that. That's very important. Good. Well, we're actually getting near the end of the show. I don't want to start a new number right now, only because each number has so much to say. The sixes, sevens, eights, and nines are a long way to go to understand these. And as we're learning from the eights, you know, two, three, four, five, there's so much that we can hold in our understanding of life and about ourselves and each other. And so it's really important to know our cards, and to know each other's cards, because then you know why they're behaving the way they do, why they need to do what they need to do. Yep. And so they can get their cards by going to your fairly new website. It's not as new as it used to be. TheSourceCards.com.
TheSourceCards.com, and you can put in your birthday and look up your cards. We have a wonderful free lookup tool for you there.
I keep telling people, you know, it's like a mantra with me. You meet me, I'll go, TheSourceCards.com. It's like, I have nothing else to say. Just send you there. You'll get
appreciate your support. And they also, it's part of a nonprofit organization that my wife and I lead to share this knowledge and get this knowledge out for more people to know about it.
Right. And they can bring their birth dates and those of others and learn about themselves. But yeah. For me, it's really important to know everybody in my family's cards.
Yeah.
And why they are behaving. It really tells the story about them and why they're who they are. Yes. And, you know, they're all playing it their own way, but it's within the structure of the card itself.
Well, it's so illuminating. It raises our consciousness and it suddenly gives us a choice. As I mentioned earlier, instead of feeling stuck by these patterns, when we start to observe these patterns in our life and in ourselves, suddenly we realize that we are not these patterns and we can choose how we want to play these patterns.
And to learn about the other cards in our hand so we can know the unique nature of ourselves. Like I know that I'm a Jack of Spades, not just a Four of Clubs. And that helps me understand why I am such a Jack in the Box.
And wouldn't have it any other way, Peter.
Well, I'm happy being me. I just know that I'm not always understood by people, and that's fine because as soon as we can just fall back on everything being in divine order, and just surrender to, you know, to not beating life up, but just work with it better. You know, understand that we're going to face a lot of troubles, obstacles, shadows, and just use our strengths and just be our strengths and trust the process.
Well, absolutely. And even knowing that there is an elegant design and that everything is mathematically structured on a profound level in a way that our brains don't quite comprehend, even that helps us to relax and allow the process because it's all elegantly designed.
That's wonderful. So thank you so much for being back on Energy Stew. And we'll
my pleasure.
Be talking again soon. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at BRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.